This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, back with Seth Engel, our Post-Gazette and Daily Collegian Penn State insider for our weekly Penn State football and more podcast. Seth, not a ton of news to digest this week on a local level, but a lot going on around the country. So we're going to talk about some big transfer portal pickups for Penn State, and then we're going to get into some of those national storylines and how they might impact the Nittany Lions. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, it's we're in the midst of the offseason now. Penn State finally making some moves in the portal. Obviously some big national news there with, you know, Nick Saban retiring, Kalen DeBoer now in. So looking forward to breaking that all down with you.
Yeah, I think last week we talked about Julian Fleming, Nolan Rucci, basically coming back to Penn State. They were guys that were real hot on Penn State in the recruiting process, end up going to other programs out of state, but now they are back in Pennsylvania with Penn State. So those were big pickups. We also mentioned that we thought A.J. Harris had been crystal balled to Penn State. That commitment comes through this week. Former five-star, went to Georgia, still has a lot of years left. What are your thoughts on Penn State, you know, finishing off that pickup, given the way they looked in the Peach Bowl and how the defensive secondary was looking a little bit soft for next season?
Yeah, I think we spent, you know, a majority of the last episode talking about how Penn State had to go out and not just get one corner, but get two. So they get A.J. Harris, which is a huge pickup, but then they're able to go out and get Jalen Kimber, another guy with, you know, years of SEC cornerback experience. So Penn State does get the two of them. So I think that's a big deal, the fact that it wasn't just one. But, I mean, A.J. Harris is one of the most prolific transfers in the entire country, you know, not just in the secondary. But, you know, this guy is I think it says something when you burn your red shirt at Georgia. You know, that was a loaded secondary this past year, maybe the best cornerback room in the entire country. And he was still able to play seven games. Now, maybe that's because, you know, Georgia was blowing teams out. But at the same time, I mean, it's like seven games is seven games. And we've seen it's hard for freshmen to burn their red shirts. Like it says something about what they're able to do in practice.
So how do you look at this secondary group now? They've got some decent internal options, but obviously they looked a little bit soft in the Peach Bowl. You add A.J. Harris with some youth and upside to the mix, and then you mentioned Jalen Kimber. He brings experience. Do you think that was the total package that they needed to kind of go into next season with expectations that, you know, maybe you're not going to be as good as when you have Kalen King and Johnny Dixon right off the bat, but that you you know, you have upside and some potential to grow into being a pretty solid secondary once again with Tom Allen in his first year as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I think that, you know, Cam Miller still has potential to be a good cornerback. You know, he did struggle in the Peach Bowl, as did the two freshmen, Zion Tracy and Elliott Washington. But I think, you know, with another year to maybe play more, but then also, you know, kind of still learn the ropes with some other, you know, guys ahead of them for another season, I think that could be, you know, useful. I think that could be good for all three of those guys. And I do think playing time is still going to increase. I just think this is, you know, a win-win for all the, for the whole secondary.
How do you think that group ends up shaking out? I guess maybe one through three, and who wins out in those competitions? Obviously you still have to get them on campus. We've learned from the Dante Cephas experiment that, sometimes these transfer portal additions are not, sure things and that, you know, things can go sideways as well. But just as we sit here today, Seth, you know, if you had to pick a 1-2-3 from the group that they have and the group that they've picked up, how would you stack them up?
Well, I do think AJ Harris is going to compete for a starting spot. You know, I don't know, maybe Kimber also earns that starting role as well, just based on the fact that this is a guy who's, you know, he's played like 5 years already. You know, this is a guy, I think, I know James Franklin doesn't like to make promises, but this was a guy who, you know, already had a pretty solid role at Florida, you know, had a couple years at Georgia as well. Like, he's played college football. So I do think that he probably, you know, if he doesn't earn a starting spot, he earns starting minutes. And I do think Cam Miller is right there with the rest of the three, you know, despite the fact that he struggled. Like, he knows the program. He's been there. He's worked his butt off over the past couple of years. And he was that number one corner in the Peach Bowl. And then I would kind of have the freshman trail a little behind that group of three. But, you know, right now, I don't know. It's hard to say. It is hard to say. But I think any of the three of them could earn a starting role. And if one of them maybe moves to nickel, maybe all three do.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think you bring some of those guys in from the portal unless you intend to give them every chance to start, right? And you do have that youth and inexperience. So you give yourself a chance to build some depth if you let some of those other guys play. But, you know, curious to see how those competitions play out. I wouldn't be surprised if there were surprises, right, between now and then, because there were certainly, you know, surprises in terms of what they brought in last season. You got to get them in the system and then figure things out. So I think spring ball is going to be very interesting in that regard. The other portal addition, possibly noteworthy, Logan Cunningham. I think he was going to Marietta D3, but he played with Quentin Martin, one of the big names they pulled in this year's recruiting class at Bell Vernon here in Western PA. He joins. He's a receiver. Maybe not the receiver I think people may have been wanting to see the Penn State pick up in the transfer portal. I think they were probably shooting a little higher than a D3 type of guy, but you know, he's got some ties to the program nonetheless. Do you see him as having a chance to be more than kind of a depth option in this offense?
Yeah, not much there. I mean, there's obviously a chance, you know, once he comes in and gets some work in. I think it is good, you know, to kind of have those ties with Martin and, you know, the Pennsylvania area. But I don't see him making too much of an impact. Same goes for Jordan Meyer, who is, you know, the other transfer addition from Wisconsin. You know, it's him and Rucci kind of coming over. I think Meyer's also another in-state guy. You know, these are guys who are going to have to work. You know, it's hard to transfer over to any program. It's another to transfer over when you weren't too highly touted. It's not like these guys were necessarily, you know, recruited, you know, too heavily out of high school. You really have to get to know the coaching staff and get to know kind of the guys around you and make an early impact. And I do think that enrolling now rather than enrolling in, let's say, June, like Dante Cephas did, I do think that, you know, gives you a bit of a head start. And I think that's important.
Seth, the other big personnel move this week was at special teams coordinator, Stacy Collins out, goes to Boise State. Justin Lustig comes in from Vanderbilt. Does that move the needle for you at all in terms of Penn State's, you know, moving forward on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a bit of an upgrade. You know, props to Stacy Collins for what he did at Penn State over the past couple of years. You know, his ties to the West Coast and also really solidifying that place kicking, field goal kicking kind of unit this year. Where there was the whole debacle with Sanders Haydick losing his job in week one to Alex Falcons. Falcons kind of holding it down the rest of the way. But I do think that Lustig is an upgrade, you know, in terms of recruiting and also personnel. Like, this is a guy who was a Broyles Award nominee for nation's top assistant coach in 2018 with Syracuse. And he's done a solid job with Vanderbilt, you know, having coached at Syracuse and Vandy. He has ties to the East Coast, but he also has ties to the South, which is something that I think Penn State, you know, really wants to kind of, you know, solidify when it comes to recruiting. So I think it was a good hire.
Nationally, Seth, obviously the big story is Nick Saban retires from Alabama. Kalen DeBoer comes in from Washington. That's kind of an impact on Penn State because Kalen DeBoer is going to be on Penn State's schedule next season. Now he's not. Jed Fish is in for that Washington program. what's your big picture now of how that program fits into the Big Ten and how, you know, a team like Penn State matches up against them coming off a national title game appearance?
Thunder pants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunder pants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yeah, I do think Alabama has just become such a powerhouse where they're always going to be competitive. And I think Kalen DeBoer is, you know, one of the best coaches in the entire country. I think he was a good hire, but he wouldn't have been my first choice, you know, honestly. Like, this is, I thought that the pool was small and Kalen was obviously on it, but to not be able to kind of bring in a Steve Sarkisian or Dan Lanning, who has coached in the SEC and been successful in the SEC, you know, it's a bit questionable. Like, this is new. This is going to be very new. It's going to be a new look Crimson Tide, and we'll see what the fallout continues to look like in terms of, you know, coaches coming and going and transfers. But it definitely shakes things up on the national stage, you know, with Penn State, you know, now trying to win a national championship or at the very least make a 12-team playoff. This is a team that's, you know, going to be competing as well. And who knows, maybe we'll see a Penn State-Alabama matchup one of these years.
Thoughts on Washington and where they go from here?
Yeah, Washington, I mean, getting Jed Fish, probably the next – it's interesting when you kind of see the carousel come to life, right, when one coach goes to the next and then one guy moves up. I mean, Fish did a great job at Arizona, which is a team that, you know, had struggled in past years and really made that, you know, a pretty dominant program this past season, which is it's hard to do down there. I think that it's a good fit. You know, DeBoer was able to make it work coming over from Fresno State. So if he was able to do that, I think Fish, you know, probably has more background having done it, you know, at a bigger school in Arizona. But to lose, you know, not just DeBoer, but also Ryan Grubb, your offensive mind, and then your generational quarterback and Michael Penix, it's not easy. But I do think that Jed Fish was a good hire, and I'm interested to see what they're able to do.
I think an interesting angle to this is that there's been a couple Tom Allen connections, right, to what's going on at Alabama. You obviously have Kalen DeBoer ran Tom Allen's offense for a year. Kane Womack appears to be the choice as defensive coordinator. Does that matter if you're Penn State? Does that kind of show how well regarded a guy like Tom Allen is and why he was a nice get for Penn State at defensive coordinator?
It's definitely cool to see it kind of play out where, you know, I think maybe Tom Allen's best trait of all was the fact that he was able to kind of recruit some great coaches and make some, you know, pretty substantial hires that have, you know, definitely paid off, and we're continuing to see them climb in the coaching world. You know, I don't think anyone really knew who Kalen DeBoer was when it came to 2019 or 2020. And right after those, you know, pretty successful years, you know, DeBoer finds some success at Washington. I mean, he and Fresno State. I mean, he really hasn't lost as a head coach. And then Kane Womack as well, which is, you know, he's a guy that I think a lot of people look at and they say, well, can Tom Allen even coach defense, you know, without Womack? Because this was a guy who came in after Tom Allen had been coaching, you know, defense primarily while also serving as head coach. And he stepped back a little to let Kane handle the business. And when Kane left, Tom Allen took back over, and, you know, Indiana's defense started to show some struggles. So You know, great defensive mind, but I really do think the question there is, you know, can Tom Allen go back to successfully coaching, you know, with an eye on the defense?
Seth, want to get into a couple other big storylines. Number one, I think, is how many guys Michigan has lost to the NFL draft. J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, just to name a few. Do you see that as a possible leading indicator of Jim Harbaugh's intentions? I know we saw he interviewed with, I think, at least the Chargers. I haven't seen anything else yet, but do you look at the way those guys are kind of saying we're moving on rather than come back to try to go back to back, as a possible leading indicator that Michigan is going to be, you know, going through a period of rebuilding here?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, next year is going to be interesting for a number of reasons, but, you know, Michigan, which has been far and away, you know, most dominant team in the Big Ten for the last three seasons, is going to look very, very different. You know, not having Jim Harbaugh, I know they didn't have him for, what was it, 8 games this year, but to not have him as their head coach at all is, you know, significant if it happens. And obviously, J.J. McCarthy also declaring for the draft, Blake Corum's gone. Roman Wilson's gone. Like, that was their offensive core. I think Donovan Edwards is the only one who's really announced that he's returning. But I do think it's pretty obvious that if Harbaugh goes, it's probably going to be Sharon Moore as the next head coach. And, you know, that was a guy who, you know, coached against Penn State this year when Harbaugh was suspended. And he's shown that he's able to do some things, you know, whether it's on offense or whether it's in recruiting. I think that, you know, he's probably the guy to hold down that fort, but Michigan is Michigan. It's hard to see them not really having success, especially after, you know, riding the coattails of a national championship, but, you know, changes come and changes go in college football. So we'll have to see what happens with that Wolverine program.
Yeah. We'll have to see whether it's a plus or minus that Penn State does not have Michigan on the schedule this year. Right. You know, it could be if they bounce back well, you might be, you know, as Penn State, you might say that's good that Penn State doesn't have to play them, gets to play other Big Ten teams. Or you might say that was an opportunity for a bigger win that maybe Penn State doesn't get because of the conference realignment, where, you know, now you're not facing Michigan and Ohio State every single season. You know, it's something we're gonna have to look at this time next year to know for sure whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. But you know, for now, I think it's just interesting to watch from afar. Seth, any reaction to Sean Clifford getting into an NFL playoff game before Kenny Pickett did?
Yeah, that was wild. I don't think anyone would have predicted that last time, you know, Penn State and Pitt played. But props to Sean Clifford. Like, that is a good job. You know, being a backup quarterback in the NFL is great, but, like, to do it with the Green Bay Packers, who are now, you know, one of the more fun teams in the NFL. It's good, you know, and I'm happy for him. I really am. You know, Sean is a good guy. He worked his butt off at Penn State, and there were ups and downs, but he made a football career out of it, even when I don't think a lot of people thought that he was going to. And to see him kind of play in the playoffs there, you know, it was pretty exciting. You know, there have been a number of, you know, some other Penn State players in the playoffs this year, but Sean Clifford's a guy I don't think a lot of people were expecting to see, you know, play at that level, you know, especially after watching him over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's good for the program that Trace McSorley was able to find. You know, I mean, he's made something of a career. He's never started for any, like, long periods of time or anything like that. But, you know, he's been able to bounce around the league, cash some checks for several years at this point. And, you know, I think you have to have the same hope for Sean Clifford. And I think that matters if you're Penn State, because they don't have that kind of history of guys, at least at the position. Obviously you have, you know, Michael Robinson kind of move around. Right. And he made quite a nice career for himself
as a fullback.
Yeah. But it wasn't It wasn't as a quarterback. So I think it's important to show recruits that you can come to Penn State and you can get a job in the NFL and, you know, kind of have, you'll get your chance. And that's more than I think you could have said about Penn State for, you know, a lot of the end of that Paterno era between, you know, Morelli and you know, like Rob Bolden and those guys who got starting reps. I think it's a good sign for Penn State that they're getting guys into the league and have something to point to with recruits. Yeah, other programs may have more, but at least Penn State has more than it has, at least in its recent history. Seth, I'll get you out of here on this. Basketball team gets smoked inside by Purdue. Just nothing for them. It seems like they're gonna match up decently with teams that can't obliterate them inside. But when you face a Zach Edey and Purdue, they just don't have. It seems like they just are not gonna have a lot of hope for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that probably goes for most teams in the country. But this was the same problem we saw last year too, where it was Kemba Jai who was getting kind of worked in the paint. And then this year, you know, you think that things might improve with Kudus Wahab, who's, you know, a pretty defined and experienced center, but it really hasn't, you know. And outside of him, I think there's just kind of a lack of talent in that front court. You know, the guards, as we've seen, are capable. Kanye Clary's been pretty outstanding this year. Ace Baldwin Jr. probably could win Defensive Player of the Year of the Big Ten. I think he's he has like 13 steals over the past two games. He had 8 steals in one game against Northwestern. But you know, those centers are just not getting it done. I think having Favor Ere back, you know, after that long injury helps. But you got to think about it like this: this is an inexperienced basketball player as it is. You know, he's only been playing for a few years. He only played in a couple games in Miami last year. For him to miss, you know, 8 weeks and then come back, and now he's just in the bulk of Big Ten play. One of his first matchups is Zach Edey. Like, that's hard to do. And Meech Lilly, you know, also kind of just trying to figure it out. But if Penn State wants to find success down the road, they got to figure it out in the post. You know, they really got to figure it out. And it just has not been pretty there the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be hard to, it's going to be hard to shoot your way out of that problem the way you did last season, right? And that's what Penn State had the luxury of, was just kind of just generational shooters all around that could, you know, when they were on, it didn't matter what kind of defense you were playing in the post. You could outscore teams. You could, beat them that way. They don't have those guys this year. That's no slight on Ace Ball when Kanye Clary. They're playing well. I think they're good players. It's just they can't, you know, the two of them can't make up for those shortcomings the same way a Jalen Pickett did. That's no fault of their own, but that's the program building that Mike Rhodes is going to have to do. Seth, any final thoughts on Penn State topics this week before we sign off? Kind of, we're going to have these podcasts be a little more slimmed down, I think, in the absence of any, you know, super meaty topics between now and spring ball.
No, I think we covered it for now. You know, we'll see if there's some more transfer additions. I don't know how soon they'd probably bring people in now that the semester started. Like, this was their bulk that they wanted to get in now. But we'll see what happens. You know, they're always kind of moving pieces, and there's definitely going to be, you know, some personnel shifts, maybe with analysts and grad assistants, not as, you know, big news, but you know, the things are shifting in college football and things are shifting in state college. So we'll have it all covered.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how spring ball impacts. You know, maybe there are a couple more guys that don't find themselves in the roles that they want in other programs, and maybe you find a couple of guys. I think, you know, again, we go back to the Dante Cephas thing. I don't know if you want to pick guys up so late in the calendar, or at least pick up guys that you're planning to rely on, you know, once we get into like May. But you know, still, hopefully you can find a contributor or two if that person doesn't find the role they want in their current program. But Seth, thanks for joining me today. We'll be back next week if there's news, and look forward to talking to you then.
Awesome. Take care, Adam.
Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.